We continue our focus together on Jesus' teaching in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And we come this afternoon to the fourth petition. We move on from the first three, which focus on God and His glory. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to our particular daily needs in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Now we're going to be reading from the Old Testament in connection with that, from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. The book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 16, I'll find the page for you, Exodus chapter 16 in the Pew Bibles, is page 78. Page 78. The book of Exodus records for us the exodus of God's people. They're leaving Egypt and they're being brought into the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham some 400 years earlier. Now, when they were finally able to make their way out of Egypt by God's mighty hand and by His outstretched arm through the Red Sea on dry feet, we begin to read in chapters 14 and 15 of the many ways in which God's people already begin to grumble. And Exodus chapter 16 records some more of that, and also records for us the way in which God nevertheless provided for them graciously. What they deserved was to be judged. What they get from God is food to eat, manna from heaven, every day for 40 years. And we'll read of that in Exodus chapter 16. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. And they journeyed from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, or to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against Him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept." And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years, until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. This is the very word of God. Thanks be to God. I urge you to keep your Bibles open here to Exodus 16. And then if you're able, turn with me as well to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. If you have the Forms and Prayers books, like this one, you may find that on page 256. And if you do not, you may also turn in the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal to page 895. So page 256 or 895, Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We have been working our way through questions and answers that help us to understand what the Word of God teaches. In this last section of the Catechism, we're coming to Lord's Day 50 out of 52 Lord's Days in a year. We are finishing up with the Lord's teaching on prayer as the highest expression of our gratitude to God. Prayer is such a great privilege for us. Lord's Day 50. What does the fourth petition or the fourth request mean? Give us this daily bread, give us this day our daily bread means, provide for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. And just take note, as we have those words before us, these words themselves, if I haven't called attention to that, as they reflect the teaching of the Bible and help us to understand it, these words are a prayer to God. We're directing these words directly to God, that we may understand God is the only source of everything good, and that we may put our trust in Him alone. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how many of you still bake bread. Perhaps there are some of us, or some of you. I won't include myself in that one. Maybe there are some who make use of modern conveniences like bread makers to get the bread baked. Now, whether or not that is the case, that we bake our own bread, I am quite confident that none of us went out, let's say, yesterday morning, the day before the Lord's Day, and gathered little flecks of white stuff off of the ground in order that we might bake bread. Manna. When it was asked in Exodus 16, verse 15, the people said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. The word for "what is it" is the word manna. God gave them something that was completely unexpected, completely unknown to them, completely from His hand. Now, I say this in terms of the fact that we have not, any of us, over the course of the past week, gone out to gather little white stuff off of the face of the ground. In order to ask the question, if that's not our experience, does the teaching of the fourth petition, what Jesus gives to us in the fourth petition, still have relevance? We live in a different time. We are not living in those 40 specific years where God led His people through the wilderness with the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. God does not give us that manna from heaven in that way. That was something that happened for 40 years and then it stopped. But I do trust that we can appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ has still given us this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread to teach us what it is that we should live every day from hand to mouth. That is, from God's hand to our mouths. We have a glorious and a very undeniable picture of that in Exodus chapter 16 with the giving of manna. But that picture is still there to teach us the blessing of living in daily dependence upon the Lord through the blessing and privilege of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I know as we speak about prayer, I know for myself, even as I come to bring sermons again from the teaching of the Lord Jesus on prayer, I know what it is to struggle with prayerfulness. I know what it is to be prayerless at times. I know what it is, as I trust many of you do as well, to find ourselves falling to our knees in times of great urgency, when we're in the midst of great difficulty, and we cry out to God, "God, help me now, because I need you." But this fourth petition is teaching us, don't wait. Don't wait to those times of great need and great urgency. You need me all the time, is what God is saying to us. And we would say, "I need thee," or "I need you," every hour I need you. Give us this day our daily bread. And another way we can identify, of course, with the wandering Israelites who spent those 40 years in the wilderness is that whereas they were on a journey, they had come from Egypt, they were passing through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Therefore, we call them pilgrims. Pilgrims are those who are on a journey. Pilgrims are those who have a destination and a purpose, an end in view. And what we read about in the Old Testament in terms of the picture given to us in this real history in Exodus chapter 16 is still to be experienced by us as pilgrims today. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are sojourners with a destination. We're traveling through this wilderness for as many years as the Lord will give us, but our destination is the New Jerusalem. The promised land to which we look is the new heavens and the new earth, the blessing of being with God forever. But along the way, we are still utterly dependent upon the Lord for everything that we are, for everything that we have, for everything that we need. And so when Jesus teaches us, give us this day, he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we may call this a pilgrim prayer for provision. We're pilgrims. We're on our way to a glorious destination. We're on our way to be with God forever. We're on our way to a blessed eternity in his majestic presence. But on the way, we need help. We need provision. We need food. So, we're going to look at three things together this afternoon. The pilgrim privilege, the pilgrim parameters, and the pilgrim's progress. The pilgrim's progress. And all of this we enjoy in prayer. Pilgrim privilege of prayer. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it actually strikes me as very striking that the first word of the fourth petition, the first word of the fourth thing that Jesus asks us to pray for is give. Give. Now, boys and girls, maybe you were taught when you were young, or like I was taught when I was young, that little quip, gimme, gimme, never gets, don't you know your manners yet? Typically, when we say, give me this or give me that, we are reprimanded, we're scolded, and we're told, hey, you need to be a little more humble, a little more respectful. You don't talk that way. And that makes it all the more amazing that God, that Jesus, who is God, has taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give. Now, we have to understand that this teaching, this privilege that we may pray, God, give, is one that is ours by His amazing grace. Now, we've taken the time to sing from Psalm 104. And it speaks of the fact that God gives food to all His creation. He opens His hand and He feeds them. He closes His hand and they wither and die. We acknowledge that we don't have anything in this life. We don't have any strength. We don't have food to eat apart from the giving hand of God. Jesus reflects on that as well in Matthew chapter 5, at verse 45, I believe it is, when he says, God sends his Son on the good and the evil, and he sends his rain also to the good and the bad. It's God who gives. But the privilege we're talking about as pilgrims is a privilege we come to enjoy as those who have come to know this God and to know the blessing that we may call him God, our Father. that we may come to Him with our every need and request, not just in times of great challenge and difficulty. Boys and girls, what would it be if the only time you ever talked to your dad was when you wanted some money or when you wanted something from him, otherwise you never took the time to talk with him? Or when you were in great difficulty and you needed help out of a particular challenge? No, the fourth petition is teaching us we get to have the privilege of speaking to God and asking Him to provide for our every need in the midst of every circumstance of life. We don't just wait for the great difficulties. Every circumstance of life has to do with the bread we eat. The bread we eat. Our catechism, at the beginning of its teaching, says, "Provide, O God, for all our physical needs, so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good." We need to recognize that, and we learn that through prayer. We learn that we don't feed ourselves. We don't attain anything in our own strength apart from the blessing of God. In Exodus chapter 16, the point God is making to them is at verse 6, it says, Exodus 16, verse 6, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." God's people had been complaining. "We liked it better in Egypt. We liked it better when we were in bondage and in chains, because then at least we had food to eat." But God is going to work a work here to help His people understand it is God who has delivered them. It is God who has brought them into wonderful fellowship with Him as the Lord their God. You see, that is what speaks to us of privilege. You have the right, as children of the living God, you have the right through Jesus Christ, His Son, to go to God and say, "Give me my daily bread. Lord, help. Lord, provide for my needs." Now we know the Lord Jesus Christ also reflected on Exodus chapter 16 in His teaching in John chapter 6. He says, "Moses gave you manna from heaven, and those who ate the manna are now dead. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, he who believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this?" So I want us to appreciate that this blessing and privilege of calling out to God, addressing Him as Father, as we've been taught, asking Him to provide for our daily needs, is a privilege we enjoy in Jesus Christ. The things that God is going to do in Exodus chapter 16 is so that you know, that you know, that you know that I am the God who has delivered you. And the catechism is on the same line when it says we are praying to God, "God, provide all our physical needs so that we may recognize or acknowledge or so that we may know. That we may know you are the only source of everything good. That we may know God." And we know God through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. See, the privilege for us here is that God knows our every need. And God would have us come to Him in the face of every trial. God would have us bring to Him the most ordinary of needs from day to day, because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk in sweet fellowship with Him. It's not just that we go to Him when things get really tough, so we may live in the joy of knowing Him every day. Boys and girls, do you know why it is we are taught to pray over our food. You know why it is we don't just chow down and eat whatever is set before us like the animals might? Because we understand our privilege. We understand that God is a giving God. We understand that we want the food that we're going to eat to be a blessing for us as we acknowledge, God, you've given me everything. You've given me these tiny morsels of food, and I should take nothing for granted. It is all from God. That is a glorious privilege, this ability to say, give. It comes from knowing that God is a giving God. How much has he given? God has so loved the world of sinful humanity. We come back to that basic Bible text. We should never forget John 3, verse 16. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 8, verse 32 reflects on that reality as well. In 8, verse 31 and 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God did not spare his own Son, if God, in a sense, rather, has given his Son for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? All of the giving we enjoy through Christ. I mentioned, as we've seen from Psalm 104, every creature in the world and every person, even those who don't know the Lord Jesus, have their food from the hand of God. But it's only we who have come to know this God and the privilege of belonging to him through Jesus Christ who know it as a privilege, who understand everything we have from God. What do we have that we have not received? Lord, provide. Help me to continue to know I need you. I cannot live without you. It's we as Christians who understand we are pilgrims. We were those who were wandering aimlessly. We were those who were given to complain vehemently, foolishly, over against God, God himself. But God in his grace and mercy has brought us to know the blessing and privilege of belonging. Brought us to know the blessing that he has given his own Son. Brought us to put our trust in him and in him alone. And therefore, we are privileged to know that along with Jesus, he gives us every good thing. Secondly, I want to look this afternoon at some parameters, some sort of guidelines for prayer, some boundaries, you could say, in terms of what we learn from what Jesus teaches us here in the fourth petition and what is similarly taught in the account in Exodus chapter 16. God's people were complaining. And initially, it came off as though they were complaining against Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron could see through that, and certainly God could see through that. They're not complaining against you, they're complaining against me. And I'm going to show them my glory. I'm going to provide for them. This, again, is a testimony to the wonderful grace of God. What did God's people deserve? They deserved to be sent back to Egypt to live under oppression again. They deserved condemnation. They deserved punishment. God will give them food. But before he does that, he's going to show them his glory. I think the boys and girls know that throughout those 40 years in the wilderness, God led his people with a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Exodus 13, verse 21. And God wants his people to come near and see. He wants his people to draw near to him to know that he is the God who has delivered them. He is the God of their salvation. But they need to see his glory. So the first parameter with regard to our prayer, Lord, give me my daily bread, is that our focus is the glory of God. It's not for nothing that this is the fourth petition, the fourth request that Jesus teaches us. The first one is, hallowed be your name. God be glorified. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Then we talk about the things that we need. Glory to God. The glory of God comes first. And then we ask him for whatever we need. Whatever we need. But the glory of God comes first. You see, God, as a giving God, is able to give us the world. But when we understand that his glory comes first, we will not in that sense ask for the world selfishly in a way that serves us with no reference to God and his glory. So, the parameter, the glory of God comes first. This is the fourth petition. There are three that come before it. And we'll see as a second parameter that we're taught here to pray this day for our daily bread. You may have heard me quip before, a recollection from my youth of a little boy who came up with a bright idea. He should just pray this way, God, please bless all the food I will ever eat. But that's not how Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Jesus would have us know our need for blessing. Jesus would have us walk in sweet fellowship with God. Jesus would have us come near to this God of great glory. And Jesus would have us ask again and again and again. Ask today for your daily food, because God wants us to walk in sweet fellowship with him every day. Give us today our daily bread. Now, our catechism says, provide for all of our physical needs. And Jesus, when he says, pray for bread, he means everything we need physically. We need bread, we need water. In this climate, where it snowed again, even this morning, I noted, we need a roof over our heads. We need warm clothing. We need money to buy food. We need jobs in order to get paid that we may have that money to buy food. As pilgrims, we need purpose in this world, but we need all of that by the blessing of the hand of God. And that means we live in daily dependence upon him. God would teach his people that very specifically in Exodus chapter 16. You gather what you need every day, and that'll be enough. You don't have to ask for more. You don't have to go and get more in that sense. You don't store it up overnight and save it because it'll start to stink. That won't be good for you. Pray this day for your daily bread. Live in the joy of being able to bring the most basic of needs, your everyday affairs, to the Lord God in prayer. Jesus teaches us that. Now, another thing he teaches is, as you pray, work. Praying and working go together. There is a Latin phrase, maybe some of you even know it, ora et labora, pray and work. When we pray for our daily bread, we don't pray, boys and girls, that we will look on our front lawn and there'll be a loaf of Wonder Bread there for us the next morning. We don't expect that from the Lord. He asks us to pray, and then he sends us to work. The New Testament teaching, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, is, he who does not work, let him not eat. We're called to be busy with our hands. We're called to labor. It was the same in Exodus 16, wasn't it? God sent the manna, but he didn't bake their bread. God said, you go and you collect it. You gather it for yourself. You gather enough for your household. He put them to work. And so the teaching give us this day our daily bread. It means that as we pray, we will work. And what we're praying for is for God's blessing upon our work, that we may understand ourselves to be pilgrims who have a purpose, desire the glory of God first and foremost in all. These are the things that we're praying for. That's why we want food to eat. That's why we want all of our physical needs to be met. That's why we pray for health and strength. That's why we pray for the work of the doctors. God asks us to make use of the means. You pray and you work. So, the glory of God comes first. We pray for our daily bread today, and again tomorrow, and again the next day. We live a life of prayerful dependence upon the Lord. We work for what we pray for. We pray for what we work for. Fourth parameter is that we serve according to the commandments of God. In Exodus chapter 16, God said, I'm doing this so that I may test you to see if you pay attention to my commands or not. And even the whole business about the Sabbath day, the Lord ordered it in just such a way. It's amazing when you think about it. And we are to understand that this is how it went for 40 years. He says, you will gather twice as much. You were never supposed to do that on days 1 through 5, but on day 6. You gather twice as much, and you store it up, and you provide for yourself, and you prepare. And then on the 7th day, which was the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, you'll be provided for. You can go out and you can look and you'll not find any of the manna on the ground. The Lord is saying, you remember my commandments. You walk according to my laws. Think of the sayings of Agur in Proverbs chapter 30. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be rich, because then I might forget about God and say, who needs the Lord? And I don't want poverty either, then I might be tempted to steal. And the Lord is saying here in Exodus chapter 16, you serve me according to my commandments, and I will provide for you. You may think that this whole idea of resting on the 7th day, and we enjoy that today on the first day of the week because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't make any sense. How can I be provided for? Well, you pray to the Lord, who is the overflowing fountain of everything good. He knows your needs. He will lead and guide and bless you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Is what the Lord is saying. A parameter is that we pray this prayer and we seek to keep his commandments. You don't pray for bread and then go and steal it. Right? Lord, if I regard sin in my heart, my prayer you will not hear. Psalm 66, verse 18. And then one more parameter I think needs to be reflected upon. Fifth one under this second point. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Give us today, or this day, our daily bread. Jesus didn't teach us to pray selfishly. Give me this. And maybe that's where we come back to the rhyme we were taught, give me, never gets. It's give us. It's our daily bread. You see in Exodus chapter 16 as well, the concern for God's people as a whole. So everybody gathered what they needed and no one had lack. But there is a concern for the body, a concern for one another. And Jesus is teaching us that when he teaches us to pray in this way. Give us today our daily bread. Don't be selfish. Be thoughtful of others. We pray for the well-being of others and we work to that end as well for the glory of God. So finally, in the third place this afternoon, pilgrim progress. Pilgrim is on a journey to the celestial city. We're going to cross that Jordan one day, and we will be with God and see Jesus where he is, beholding his glory. We'll be like him, and therefore we will purify ourselves even as he is pure. And so you recognize that God has in view that purpose. Jesus has that in view when he teaches us, pray today for your daily bread. Again, if he wanted, like he did on that sixth day of the week for these 40 years that are recorded for us, talked about in Exodus chapter 16, God has the wherewithal, God has the power, the ability. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills to give us just a stockpile. And he says, here you are, this will serve you for the rest of your life. But he's not going to do that, is he? He's not going to do that because he wants us to know the blessing of fellowship with him. Jesus, in Mark 8, verse 32, I believe it was, what does it profit? He warns, he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? You get a glimpse of the reality of what God thinks of selfish hoarders when they gathered too much and tried to save it overnight and things began to stink and the worms set in. Numbers chapter 11 records a follow-up to this where there came a time along the way where God's people got sick and tired of men. We don't want manna. We don't need any more of that manna. And so the Lord says he will take care of that. In Numbers 11, verse 31 to 35, records for us the fact that God sent quail. There was a glimpse of that in Exodus 16, but now he is sending quail. He's sending birds that are just fluttering above the ground and everyone can gather whatever they need. And they just devoured the quail. And Numbers 11 verse 33 says, while the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. It's like the meat is coming out of their nostrils. It's too much. And it's not good for them. Psalm 106 reflects upon this again. The Lord gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their souls. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? You see, the reason we continue to pray, give us this day our daily bread. The reason we don't want to become selfish hoarders. The reason it's not all about me, but about us and for the glory of God is so that we don't get carried away. That we don't neglect the blessing of fellowship with God. Again, to read through the Catechism summary, we are praying to God to provide for all our physical needs so that we may know, we may recognize you are the only source of everything good. Neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Some of us are proud of the fact we work hard. Some of you are particularly gifted. None of those things can do us any good without his blessing. If we're to make progress in this life, we're not to be focused on the things of this world. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Therefore, the Catechism ends this summary. May we withdraw. Help us to withdraw our trust from all creatures. Help me to stop thinking I can do it myself. Help me to stop thinking I am gifted and strong. Help me to withdraw my trust in any other creature, but put it in you, O Lord, and in you alone. Why? Because I want to come near to you, as Exodus 16 is teaching us. I want to know your glory. I want to live for your glory. I want to make progress in this pilgrim journey on the way to eternity. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in a sense of dependence. I want to grow in a sense of awe and joy and gladness. I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow in likeness to Jesus. I want to grow in sanctification. All of these things are things we want to make progress in. Declare our purpose in this world. And for this, we need food. We need strength. We need health. We need God's blessing. We need Him. And so we pray daily, regularly. Pray without ceasing, Paul will say in the New Testament. We pray utterly dependent upon God, desiring to come near to Him and to behold His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you teach us our utter dependence upon you. We thank you that our confidence cannot be placed in the things of this world, even in the food that we eat or the work of our hands. Lord, help us to abandon our trust in these things and in any other creature or in ourselves and put our trust in you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us that we need God every hour. Give us today our daily bread. Give us the strength that we need. Give us all of our physical needs and keep us living in joyful, thankful, humble dependence upon you through a life of prayer. Again, Lord, as we think of these things, we are convicted, humbled by the prayerlessness in our lives. And we ask, Lord, help us to know and enjoy the blessing of living in humble dependence upon you every day. Help us as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.